Let us, can you turn in with me to you in your Bibles to Joshua? In chapter 8. That's better. In 1987, a Soviet astronaut from Russia. He returned to Earth in good health after spending 326 days in orbit. However, 5 years earlier, two cosmonauts returned after only 211 days in orbit, and they returned in poor health. They reported dizziness, they reported had heart problems with palpitations, and their muscles had wasted away. Why? Because of the zero gravity. They had no resistance to bring about to keep their muscles in check, and so they wasted away. And then they invented what was called the penguin suit. It was a spacesuit that didn't just protect them from space, but provided resistance. So when they moved, their muscles, they had to exert strength. Their muscles had to work. And it made the change 5 years later. Yeah. Well, as Christians, you and I might dream about floating along in the Christian life. We seek a life with no difficulties. We get together and we complain about our aches and pains or whatever. Although I must admit, not a lot of you do. Discovering that a lot of you have cancers and all these other things that you don't mention. And then that's both good and bad. It's bad because others don't get to pray for you. It's good because it changes. It's a change from what most other people talk about for their day. But, yeah, there are some evangelists that teach that by coming to Jesus, you will have no more troubles. This is a lie, as you probably have worked it out. So for some of us, we've come to Jesus and discovered that our troubles have only doubled. But the thing is, a life without difficulties results in a weakened spiritual and moral life. We don't have to work at it. Trials and troubles force us to exert energy and causes us to stay in shape and to grow. I was in a small group and one person was asked how they were, and they said, probably better than I think I am. And one of the ladies in the group piped up and said, well, that shows faith. And that's how we grow. Troubles and trials force us to use the spiritual energy, force us to think about God. When things are going well, the tendency is to not think about them so much. But when things are tough and hard, we work at it. And so that's what's happened here in Joshua. Chapter 7 tells us about their demoralizing defeat. The Israelites have dealt with the problem. They have learned from it. They move on. And what they must not do is pack it in. They have to keep going. And Henry Ford defined a mistake as an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. Now, he wasn't all that great sometimes, but he had a few nuggets, and this is one of them. The lesson that you and I are to learn today is that you are to know that victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. It's a bit like what I think of rugby league some days, or at least New Zealand rugby league. You get the ball, you run into the opposition, you fall down. They play it out, you get the ball, you run into the opposition, you fall down. It seems like a continual series of meaningless things. But that's what a victorious Christian life is. We take one step forward. Maybe we might even get the second step forward before we fall back. It's a series of new beginnings. And that's what we have here. A new beginning. A restart. Or are you discouraged? Have you recently experienced defeat in your Christian life? Do you seem to be failing in your walk with God? If you are, then be encouraged with this passage. In the previous chapter of Joshua, we learned about the judgment of God and his people. And as you read the historical books of the Bible, you come to understand that this judgment is cyclical. It happens. Read the book of Judges and get depressed, because it happens throughout the entire book. The people forget God. They get punished with enemies dominating them. They remember God. They defeat the enemies, and then they forget God, and it's just one never-ending cycle through the book. And even the heroes have clay feet. It happens time and time again. You would think, talking about Israel under Joshua and even under the judges, you'd think that people who had had seen the power of God so clearly. I mean, all these people in Joshua had seen God stand the river up on its end, and they crossed across on dry ground. They'd seen just marching around under a city and blowing a few horns, and the city walls collapse. They'd seen clearly. You'd think that people who had seen this would have no problems with growing in faith and obedience. Yet if you read the book of Exodus, you would read of the number of times they show their lack of trust in God and the resulting unfaithfulness. Instead of walking by faith, they try to walk by sight, and they regress spiritually. And this is a common experience in the Christian life. I haven't done this, but it'd be interesting to go to an assembly of the elders and the ministers of this church, of our denomination, and ask them who hasn't had periods of regression in their spiritual life. Because it is a common experience. It's part of our old man still living with us. When you sin, God knows, because he exists infinitely. He is present everywhere at every moment. And so when you sin, God's blessing on you slows or stops, or doesn't appear. And this isn't just on you alone. It stops for your family, for your church, for other spiritual groups you belong to. As a Christian, you can count on God to bring judgment upon you until you confess your sins and seek his forgiveness. And yet when you do that, you start again. You return to God, and his blessings become more evident again. And so the Israelites have returned to God. Now blessing was about to flow again. They began again, this time more intelligently. But there are two common reactions that often accompany failure. One, first is discouragement over the past. And that discouragement can lead us into not doing anything. Oh, I failed. I talked to one guy I was working with in a factory, and he said he used to be a Christian, but it got too hard, so he gave up. That's one reaction. The other one is fear of the future. Oh, what if I fail again? Oh, we tried that and it didn't work. And so we don't do anything. Both of them lead to inaction. And the Israelites could have taken a similar course. They could have just simply said, oh no, they're too tough. Oh no, it's not going to work. They could have failed to go back to fight Ai. They could have tried to go around them. I mean, there's plenty of other cities in the country for them to attack. But if they did, then they would have lost all that they had gained. How we handle failure, you know, I've heard, as I said, the 11th and the 12th commandments in a church, we've always done it this way, or we've never done it that way. And what they're saying is, we're not going to change. We're going to stay exactly like we are. Even if exactly like we are means that we're failing constantly. We're not going to change because we don't want to. Instead of asking the intelligent questions is, why didn't it work? What needs to change to make it work? And it's the same on a personal level. As a Christian, you are traveling along fine and suddenly you sin. Have you experienced a deep depression, a doubt, the uncertainty of your salvation? I admit I have. And you look forward and you wonder, is there any future? No doubt the people of Israel felt like this. But in verse 1, God says to them, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. 1 John reminds us that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And he tells us again, like he says to Joshua, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Start walking with me again. And why not be discouraged? Why not be afraid? Because God is with them. He hasn't left them. He is with them. If you have failed and fallen into sin, repent and return to God. And to fear not, because he is ready to forgive you. That's part of the message of what 1 John tells us. And as you go through the Old Testament, you go through Joshua, you go through Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Chronicles, go through them all. And the people fail, often, and stupidly some days. And yet God is there to hear their prayers, to hear them confess, and to carry them along. God never discourages his people from making progress. And so the question is, will you seek progress in your life, both physical and spiritual? As long as you obey his commands, you can claim his promises. All fail at some time. Fortunately, we don't all fail all at the same time, so we can pick each other up. And that's part of it, part of God's plan by making us different. You know, if we were all the same and we failed, we'd fail, all of us would fail at the same time because we're all the same. But we're not. And we're not, so when some of us fail, others will pick us up. Our failure must strengthen our Christian character. It must give us spiritual muscle tone. Or else it would be a tragedy. Don't wallow like a pig in your past failures, being discouraged and fearful. The Proverbs tells us that a dog returns to its own vomit. As disgusting as that picture is, that's what we do when we wallow in our failures. When we don't go to God for forgiveness and for strength and for leading and for love and for all of that. Our God is the God of new beginnings. Well, are you unsure? Israel is about to go into battle, and God always has his plan for his people to follow. And the people knew that the only way they would have victory is by following his instructions. And so, in the first attack on Ai, Joshua followed the advice of the spies. They were overconfident. They were unaware of the sin in the camp. The second attack is planned by God. Israel followed this plan to the letter. So how were they going to do it? Well, they're going to set up an ambush. As Ai would now be self-confident, would be overconfident. As we see, as soon as Israel turns around, the king of Ai says, look, they're running like before. Let's go out and chase them again. They thought their previous success meant that they were going to always be successful. And just like Jericho, God promises to hand over the city to the Israelites. But there are important differences. First, this victory would be accomplished by fairly ordinary means. There's no miracle taking place here. Unless it's a miracle of the stupidity of the king of Ai. But other than that, it's all pretty straightforward. It's what you write military battles out of. One attacks, they draw out the enemy, those who are hidden in ambush come in from behind. Secondly, the other difference is that Israelites were allowed to claim the spoils of war. If only Achan had awaited, much agony and disappointment would have been avoided. God promised in verse 1 to deliver Ai into their hand, and Joshua had a guarantee of obedience, of victory if he obeyed. And it's also true of us. Yet you might want to claim to be unsure of what to do or how to do it. Well, as a Christian soldier, you need to be sharpening your sword. Or, put it more plainly, you need to be spending more time in the Word, the sword of the Spirit. People who complain that they don't know what to do just aren't reading their Bibles. We may not know what the big picture is that God has got for us, but we know what the little picture is: to love God and to love others as ourselves. It's really easy to say it off your tongue. Living it, not so easy. But we can never say we don't know what to do. While we may not know what our life goal is, or what many of you are like me, don't really see a lot of years ahead of us to have a great life goal for it. But even then, we still have work to do. And the Bible, as David reminded us, contains that those commands, contains those instructions. And it's up to us to read them. The Bible directs our minds towards spiritual objectives. And sometimes our fears about the around the world and what's happening, the news telling us that there's this war and there's that war, or there's going to be trouble because the oil supply is going to get shut off, or whatever the issues are. They're real. But they're not as powerful as God. I remember back in the 80s, the march against the bomb. You know, the atomic bomb is going to destroy the entire world. 40 years on, nobody's talking about atomic bombs destroying the world. We've gone through the atomic bomb. There was the ozone hole. Then it was global warming, and now it's climate change. And if the Lord tarries, there'll be something else. There'll be always something for us to fear. But the thing is, we serve a great God. God will not let this world finish 1 second earlier than he has planned for it. And so our lives, while we have to live in this world and we have to do stuff to keep our material bodies alive and stuff, our desires should be spiritual. Our thoughts, the Spirit uses the word to control our desires and our decisions. And this is the secret of victory. Have you failed in the area of desire? Or materialism, or sexuality, power, or any of these things? You can name it. Or have you failed in the area of decision, or lack of response, lack of action? As I said, I don't know what to do, so I'll do nothing. Or I don't know what will happen, so I won't plan for anything to happen. Don't be unsure. No matter how badly you have failed, you can always get up and go again. You can always get up and begin again. Because our God doesn't strike us off just because we're being weak. If he has called us, then he has called us. And you have therefore have the Spirit and you have the Word. Because our God is the God of new beginnings. Not only is our God the God of new beginnings, but he is also the God of infinite variety. It's been said that God fulfills himself in many ways, lest one good custom should corrupt the world. And if we're reading the Bible from Genesis through to here, we would have already seen that. Moses is told to strike the rock with water for water to flow out. And it does. Second time he's told to talk to it. But Moses strikes the rock because it worked the first time. Do it the second time. Do it the same way the second time. And for that, he's banned from going into the promised land. Because our God is not limited to our customs. When the people of Israel were disobedient, and God sent a bunch of snakes into their camp, they were to stick a bronze snake up on a pole, and they did. And anybody who got bitten could look at that, and God healed. And what did they do? Later on, they start worshipping the snake. Until it gets destroyed. Because our feeble minds get stuck in a rut. We think, well, God's done it like this. He always is going to do it like this. There's very few things. There are some that, which is thing, there is only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood and things. That's not a rut. That's our ticket to freedom. That's our thing. But a lot of what we do is habitual. And we impose our habits and our desires upon God. So God changes not his purposes, but how he achieves them. He changes leaders. Israel had Moses, now they have Joshua. He changes the methods he uses so that you won't rest in personal experience alone. That you won't limit him to what you have experienced. Often you'll find a change of method is necessary due to a change in culture. And we see that God's strategy for taking Ai was different from Jericho. I'm pretty sure they could have done the same thing with Jericho. They could have marched around it and had the walls fall down. But that wasn't God's plan. The battle for Jericho was out in the open, while the battle for Ai relied on a more covert action. And the lesson for us to learn from this is that you are to seek God's will for each undertaking. Do not depend on past victories. Just because this is the way that it's always been done in evangelism or whatever else we're doing, doesn't mean that it will work today. And even if it does work today, doesn't mean to say it was the best way to do it. Do not get in a rut in your church life for growth. For example, 50 years ago, more people would have walked through the front door to come to church. Yet today, it's not enough simply to have the doors open on Sunday. You have to invite them. Not enough people desire to come to church on Sundays. Our society no longer sees church attendance as being important anymore. Even for some Christians, it seems to be that, well, I've got nothing left to do today. I suppose I'll go to church. This is why you and I need to be proactive. We need to invite people here into other places where they'll have an opportunity to hear the gospel. The Great Crusades of Billy Graham, most of the people who came forward were invited by people they knew. Some of the people I've talked to who were converted at those things were exactly that. They had no intention of coming. They saw the advertising, but until a friend of theirs invited them. Sometimes a friend of theirs dragged them, but they came. Because somebody brought them. Instead of getting into a holy huddle with people whom you know every week, spend some time getting used to those who visit us or who seldom come. I know that's what most of you do. If you do go out of your way to say hello to people, you don't probably never see during the week. But I've been to churches that have a label of being friendly, except they're only just friendly to one another, not to strangers. I have been to another church, was really friendly, no stranger, no visitor came who wasn't engaged in being talked to, being spoken to. But most, a friend of mine went to one church. He said him and his family were on holiday. He was a minister, preacher. And he sat in a particular row. And at the end of the service, the lady in front of him turned around and said to him, "That's Mrs. Brown's pew, but it's all right, she wasn't here today." And that was the entire content of the conversation that he had with anybody in that church. We need to remember that change is important, but we don't want to change just for change's sake. Our God isn't a loose cannon. He doesn't just simply go, "Well, I think I'll make it so that the water flows uphill today." He doesn't change things just for the sake of change, but he does change things. I'm telling Moses to speak to the rock instead of to hit it. Biblical teaching must be upheld, but you need the change to be effective in spreading that biblical teaching. Remember, when you're through changing, you're through. You're finished. We grow from babies to adults, but we also grow spiritually the same way, or a similar way, I should say. I've seen change happen in churches, but unfortunately, most of that has not been proactive. They haven't been seeking the Spirit. What they've been doing is simply responding to the change that's forced on them. Some influential member has died. Suddenly, a new family's turned up that doesn't quite gel with what was already going. Change of ministers. All these things are changes that take place, and they can cause chaos. And we do change and adapt, but pray for your elders, because they're the ones most responsible for trying to plan through changes for this church. And they need wisdom. They need the Spirit. When we're just simply responding to changes that are forced on us, we make a little impact on society, because society is the one who's making us change. We're not getting out ahead of society and trying to change them. The mandate is to preach the gospel to all people. But there are many ways to achieve that. But unless we make deliberate plans, we will not achieve it. And this is what the Lord has done for Joshua. He's made a deliberate plan. This is how you're going to achieve this. Well, have you been discouraged by past mistakes and failures? If you have, do not fear. God will listen to your confession. He desires to listen to your confession. He's waiting to listen to your confession. Not because he doesn't know, but because he loves you. Because he wants to lead you further into the Christian life. He wants to lead you into a stronger spiritual life. Bring you into a victorious life. And if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, ask the God who is the God of variety, who's the God of change. He will open your eyes to new ways to serve him. Just remember that the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. We start afresh. One of the reasons why I was encouraged to do devotions early in the morning was that it's a new day. It makes sense. that we start new. You can do it in the evening. It's not, we're not trying to put you into a rut, but just remember that every day is a new day. The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you fill us with your spirit, and we do pray that you will fill us with your spirit, that we may dwell upon you, that we may know that you are with us, and that we may seek to glorify you in what we do, even the simple tasks, even the straightforward ones, O Lord. That we know that we live and breathe in your presence. Thank you for this, in Jesus' name. Amen.